Hello all, good evening. It's 6:30, so I officially open the meeting. Welcome all to this lovely Tuesday, 18th of March. Before I start, just to acknowledge we have our new staffer here. Okay, Jacqueline Scott, also known as Jack. But not Jackie, okay? like I said, I met Jack last week, okay, and to be a valuable asset to the team. Let's start. Acknowledgement of country on behalf of council. I would like to acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people as the traditional custodians of the land on which this meeting is taking place, and pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. While there's no gallery, okay, I remind all councillors and elected members that this meeting will be audio recorded, and that no council decision from tonight's meeting will be communicated or implemented until 12 noon on the first clear working day after this meeting, unless council by resolution carried at this meeting requested the CEO to take immediate action to implement the decision. Lovely. In regards to attendance, I believe we have, back to my notes, we have apologies from the mayor, who, as you may know, is not well. We also have an approved leave from Councillor Wilson. Okay. Moving forward. Number five, disclosure of interests. Any financial proximity or impartiality? Yes?
Mr. Deputy Mayor, I'm disclosing a financial interest in item 13.3, which is the Perth Southwest Metro Alliance Corporate Governance Charter, because I was the recipient of a contribution to travel as part of the delegation to the USA in September 2024 with that group.
Okay. We don't need to move that, do we? It's just a disclosure. Okay. And I have the form here, so thank you. Thank you, Jonathan. Anyone else? Nothing else? Moving forward, public question time. Neil? Responses to questions. I missed that bit. Is Neil? No presentations? No? No deputations? Fantastic. I'm hoping for a quick meeting. Okay. Applications for leave of absence. On behalf of the mayor, I have leave for Mayor O'Neill for 21st of April to 26th of May. Also between the 13th of June to the 3rd of July. Anyone else? Okay. Councillor McPhail first.
Yes, thank you, Deputy Mayor. 2nd of April to the 8th of April and the 14th of May to the 26th of May and the 14th of June to the 4th of August.
The 4th of August? It's not a natural holiday. Okay. Councillor White.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I will be away from the 12th of June until the 15th of July.
For the June to July. Thank you. Yes, Councillor Northern.
I think mine's already been taken, which is on
okay,
the
thank you.
14th.
Okay. Can I have a mover, please, for that? Okay, move Councillor Collinson, second Councillor Donovan. Can I show hands, please, or agreed? Thank you. Unanimous. Do we slow down if you want, Janine?
I'm just going to make sure it's clear for the recording that it was unanimous, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Okay. The vote was, it was unanimous. Okay. Okay. Item number nine: confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting, as for the 18th of February. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor MacPhail, a seconder. Councillor Donovan. Any discussion?
No.
Councillor Donovan.
No discussion.
Thank you. Okay. If there's no discussion, I put that motion. Anyone for the motion? Thank you. And that was voted unanimously. Okay. For the motion, except the meetings. Item 10, announcement by the presiding member. Look, the only thing I'll add here is how the for those that attended the citizenship ceremony last night, another wonderful event by the town. I measure these by the appreciation of the people that were there, and a big thanks to those from the officers that attended. And obviously a big thank you for the organiser, Janine. They all love the food, okay. It is. And as the mayor says, he does look pretty in those chains. Okay. So moving forward, I think there's nothing else. Okay. Item number 11: unresolved business from previous meetings. I think there's nil. Okay, moving on to reports and recommendations. The first report before us is 12.1, the compliance audit return. I think the motion is on page 10. Okay, can I have a mover, please? Moved Councillor White. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Donovan, thank you. Councillor White.
Thank you. Look, this compliance return was investigated thoroughly at the audit meeting, and I'm happy to recommend it to other councillors. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Donovan.
No other comment except it was extensive.
Absolutely. Any other discussion? Okay. There's no further discussion. I put that motion, 12.1. Anyone accept the motion? Please raise your hand. Thank you. And that was accepted unanimously as well. 12.2. Okay. The review of the purchasing policy for the town, as viewed on page 26. Any discussion prior to put that to a vote, CEO?
Nothing.
Okay, if that's the case, can I have a mover, please, for that motion? Councillor White, thank you. Seconder? Councillor MacPhail, thank you. Okay, Councillor White.
Again, with the previous item, it was again discussed extensively at the Audit Committee meeting, and I'm happy to recommend it. Thank you.
Okay, lovely. Councillor MacPhail?
Nothing to add.
Nothing to add, lovely. Any discussion from other elected members on the review of the policy? Looking around the chamber, there is nil. Okay, therefore I put that motion on page 26. Under page 26, anyone for the motion, please raise your hand. Lovely. And that was voted unanimously as well. Thank you. Moving forward. 12.3. The rates collection report for the mid-year as of page 41. Exit manager. Now, Peter, would you like to discuss this at all?
Through the chair, this item was also discussed extensively at the audit committee. Rate collections remain strong at this point of time, comparable with prior year. Historically, the town collects around 57% of total rate revenue within the first 35-day period, and we are on track to, achieve a target outstanding rates ratio of less than 1% as of the 30th of June. So. All congratulations to the finance team member, Richard Alton, who manages our collections extremely well.
Thank you. Okay. Can I have a mover, please, for this motion? Councillor McPhail, thank you. Seconded, Councillor Donovan. Councillor McPhail.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Yeah, Peter and his team are doing a great job. Well done. Carry on.
Councillor Donovan.
Oh, no, only to say it was very consistent with the last few years. It's the consistency of the percentage was extremely close. So well done, Peter.
Okay. Any further discussion? The only thing I would also like to add is, and I concur with Councillor McPhail, very well done in terms of the finance team. And like I said, it's absolutely imperative that we stay on track in regards to our sole revenue earning for the town. Okay. Any further discussion? I see there's nil. Therefore, I put that motion to accept the report on page 40. What was it?
41.
On page 41 for item 12.3. Anyone for the motion, please raise your hand. Thank you. And that was accepted unanimously. Thank you. Okay, item 12.4, the Commonwealth Home Support Program, the CHSP for the quality audit. Peter, would you like to just discuss this item? This item is an important one to have a bit of discussion about, because as the audit, being part of the audit chair, it was well discussed as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Through the chair, this item did attract a lot of discussion at the audit committee meeting. Effectively, the town was subject to an aged care quality audit. It was our first such audit since the financial arrangements were, transferred from the state government under the old home and community care program to the Commonwealth Home Support Program. We did receive very short notice of the audit. Gina, as the manager, was provided with a collection notice to provide the information within 2 weeks of the request date. It was a very pleasing audit result, very comprehensive. Staff as well as consumers were interviewed as part of the audit process. All of our documentation was reviewed. And we did table our policies and procedures at the audit committee meeting, which effectively provides an illustration as to how much administration and compliance is actually required to maintain accreditation with the aged care quality standards. So I have to congratulate Gina and her team for such a fantastic audit result. There were a couple of audit findings which are detailed in the audit report. Effectively, we were deemed to be non-compliant with a couple of the standards, including Standard 6, being feedback and complaints, and Standard 8, organisational governance. So those areas of non-compliance are detailed on page 47 of the agenda. With regards to feedback and complaints, Gina has implemented a continuous improvement plan, and consumers will be regularly consulted with regards to, areas of the service that they receive. With regards to organisational governance, there will be a requirement for ongoing reporting to council. So we're currently just updating the report management reporting template, which we'll be presenting to council on a monthly basis for information. We did make it clear to the auditors that the delivery of the Commonwealth Home Support Program is not core business for the town of East Fremantle. We are a very small provider who provides a niche service to our community members, and I guess we should be viewed a little bit differently to, say, a Silver Chain, which is a very large organisation and has significant administration resources to support delivery of the service. I guess in closing, it must be said that it does remain a challenge to continue to provide an aged care service in line with the quality standards. We're certainly punching above our weight as a small local government. A lot of the larger metro local governments have moved away from the delivery of the Commonwealth Home Support Program in the last few years, and I think we're maybe one of only two local governments that are still remaining in that space in metropolitan Perth. In our corporate business plan, there is a requirement to review the delivery of that service by the 30th of June 2026, and that review date is very much aligned to our funding agreement with the Commonwealth Government, which is a two-year funding agreement spanning from 1 July 25 through to the 30th of June 2027, at which time the current program will be replaced with, I guess, an in-home support program, and the funding parameters will change for providers and will become, I guess, a competitive playing field as opposed to the current environment where we receive, as of right, block funding. So whilst the audit report was pleasing, in future I can see, I guess, an environment where, I guess, audit outcomes will become more penal for providers. That is, should providers be deemed to be non-compliant with the standards, that may well result in an impact on the funding that providers receive.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. I think it was a good description of our audit discussion as well. Can I have a mover, please? Oh, Councillor White, seconder. Councillor Collinson, Councillor White.
I just think we should acknowledge that the work that went into the audit, particularly from Peter, but also from the team running that service, a mighty job. And also, too, the discussion did contemplate the future of the service and the fact that it'll be an issue that we at town will have to look at in the near future. So happy to recommend the report.
Thank you. Councillor Conson.
Still on? Oh, now you've got. Okay. Look, I know we're merely receiving the report, but I appreciate the comments of Peter, and I was quite surprised to hear that only two councils still do it, because this is something that we've been very proud of for so many years now, and it's been one of the great things that we've done that's so received in the community, and I know the people that use it absolutely love it, and I love all the work the volunteers do. So it would be a pity if we do have to discontinue it. I think it's it does generate a lot of goodwill for the town, and hopefully we can continue.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Any further comments? I want to raise one comment. As part of the audit discussion, it was very much looked at from a risk point of view. Particularly, we're very fortunate that we've got Gina being... she's the coordinator... The manager, sorry, I apologise, the manager of that service. Without her, we would be lost, and so while she's doing a fantastic job, there is a great deal of risk that we're wearing on the basis of keeping staff and making and understanding what that risk is and going forward. Hence the recommendation to bring this to the forum on a regular basis, because it will be an ongoing brief. In terms of how, if and when that changes, so it's. But we'll cross our fingers until then. Okay, so it's. If that's the case, I'll close debate. We have a mover for all those four items, on page 48. I put that to council. All for that motion, please raise your hand. Lovely, and that was voted unanimously. Okay. 12.5, risk register update. I assume councils have read this. Can I have a mover, please, for the update that's on page 52? all the motions on page 52. Cover mover, please. Thank you, Councillor White. Seconder, Councillor Donovan. Thank you, Councillor White.
Thank you. Going to stand like a stuck record. This was evaluated at considerable depth in the audit committee, and I think, you know, I think the only thing that says beyond recommending the report is that I have to commend the team, Peter and his team, for making considerable inroads into this topic. And, you know, it is a lot of work and it can be somewhat tedious, and I just want to recognise their hard work and effort to narrow the scope. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor?
Yes, it would have been hard to unpick, I imagine, but it's a good move, I think, and I guess the main reason is to accommodate more people and have the processes a bit more slick. I would have been interested in hearing what Christine had.
And we're talking about the risk register?
No, huh? Sorry.
No,
not the short. Oh, am I looking at the wrong one?
You are. Sorry.
I apologise. Yeah. I thought I was looking at the short term. I apologise for that. That is totally my fault. That, with the risk management, I've got nothing else to add except for what Councillor White said.
Thank you, Councillor. Okay. Any further comments and discussion? I'm going to say something as well. The risk register has changed over the life of the audit committee. As a former chair, I also like to thank Councillor Wilson for his input in getting the risk register where it is at the moment. That's taken some energy and some effort. Okay, and particularly how we're very much being kept up to breast with what is key in regards to the risks, and we don't have a long list to deal with. And while this is the last report in regards to risk, that was quite a long meeting, if I recall, in regards to, and it's because it was well discussed, but it also means that we're focusing on what we needed to focus on as well. Okay, so a big thank you to the officers as well as Councillor Wilson, who is the chair of the committee. So I close the debate, and I put that motion on page 52. Okay, all everyone for the motion, please raise your hand. Okay, and that was voted unanimously as well. Moving on to reports. Okay, 13.1, the scheme amendment number 20 for implementation of the state government planning reforms for short-term rental accommodation. Do we want questions before, or can I have a mover, please? Can I have a mover for that?
I have a move, but it might be good. Christine might have something to add.
Christine, would you like to? Sorry,
through the chair. This is an amendment proposed to our local planning scheme that has been requested by state government to bring the scheme into line with legislative changes at state government level. And it looks quite complicated in terms of the resolution, but it's actually very simply adding some new definitions to our scheme, making some minor changes to the zoning table in line with the legislation that's already in force at state government level, and that was enacted in September of last year. And it also proposes to just remove some outdated definitions from the scheme text and to make some minor changes throughout the remainder of the text just to make sure that all the definitions are consistent and there's no incorrect references in things like the car parking schedule and other parts of the scheme. But these changes to the short-term rental accommodation use class were initiated way back in 2019 and came into force, as I said, last year in September.
Okay. Any questions? Councillor White?
I'll just through the chair to Christine. I'd be interested to know, would this change the status of any of our prior approvals that we have given for short-term rentals?
through the chair. No, it doesn't, because they have already a valid planning approval. Now, some of them are valid only for 12 months and they will either need to renew them or not need to renew them because they will have an exemption under the new regulations. So if they're a short-term rental accommodation provider that lives at their house or lives in an ancillary dwelling at the house or the property, they are exempt from planning approval under the new regulations, so they will simply register themselves on the state register and then be able to advertise on a platform like Airbnb, booking.com. If they are needing to renew their planning approval because they're unhosted and operating for more than 90 cumulative days in the calendar year, they will then just simply apply for a planning approval, and once they've obtained that, they can then register on the state government registration site, and then they can advertise on the booking platforms. So it doesn't change anybody who's already got approved status. They just continue to operate and make sure they're registered at state government level, and that's mandatory by the 1st of January 2026. And the remainder will either just get their approvals renewed or they're exempt. So it will be business as usual for most people.
Okay, Councillor White.
Just a follow-up question. So if someone has an unhosted residence at the moment, how will they know that they will have to reapply for planning approval?
Through the chair. If they're unhosted, they have probably seen in the media or know that they need to get a registration number in order to advertise from the state government department who takes care of the registrations. Now, when they apply to get that registration, they will be asked the question, do you need or have you got planning approval? And if they haven't got it, then they will make the phone call to ask ask how they go about making a development application. But they can be unhosted for up to 90 days and still be exempt from a planning approval. Oh, they just need to register their accommodation at state government level.
Well, sounds like it's a proactive step. Okay. Any further questions, Christine? Okay, if there's no further questions, can I have a mover, please, for that report? Councillor White, thank you. Councillor Collinson, seconded. Okay, Councillor White.
Nothing further. The report speaks for itself.
Yeah, thank you. Councillor Collinson.
I think Ms Catchpole played it. And the report combined explained it all pretty well. And basically, we're following the state government template. I mean, it's just with a few minor changes. To me, it's another small example, though, of the state government taking our planning powers away from us. But I don't think we've got any choice but to follow along with this.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor. Anyone who wants to speak against the report? Anyone speak for the report? Okay. That's no further debate. I close the debate. I note that the officer's recommendation with all the changes on page 59 and 60, which is all those changes as stipulated by the I guess you're here today as acting exec manager.
As the author of the report.
As the author of the report, I apologise. Okay. If that's the case, I move the acceptance of these changes. Everyone for the change, please raise your hand. Thank you. Okay. And that's voted unanimously. Moving forward. To 13.2, East Fremantle, George Street Festival 2025. We did discuss this at the forum. I think it's important that we consider this item. Do we want to talk about this, CEO? Before I put this motion,
I'm able to if you wish. As you mentioned, Mr. Deputy Mayor, this was discussed at a forum. I think the forum before last. And obviously Nadia is here as a manager of community engagement and communications, is the author of the report, if there's any other particular questions. But it's become apparent that we do need to undertake a review of the George Street Festival, how and in what form and whether it continues in the current form. And as was noted at the forum, the preferred option, rather than just to cancel or to continue, would be to pause while we undertook that review, but at the same time to look at delivery of a mid-sized event. So there is still an offering to the community in the latter half of this year, and that will give us time to undertake that review. As it mentions there, the funds that we would otherwise have allocated towards it can help with that consultation and review process, as well as delivery of that mid-sized event. And so it's open to councillors. Any particular questions at this stage? Now it's actually on the floor for a decision.
Lovely. Any questions? Yes, Councillor Harrington. Councillor, can you put your... Thank you.
With the 15,000, is that a request for quote for someone to organise that choice for us to have the choices, or is that for them to go ahead with it and that's what you'll be paying them? Because I think it's not enough.
I think that's Nadia. Okay. Nadia, are you working?
Through the chair, that was an estimate based on how much we spent delivering the similar-sized event at the East Fremantle Community Park on the 1st of February, so with Belgovia's assistance. So the idea was it would be that sized. Sorry. So really that estimate was based on how much was spent to deliver the similar event on the 1st of February with the assistance of Belgovia. So the idea would be it would kind of be in that similar format, and they did provide assistance staff-wise and to also procure a lot of the different things we needed, like the food trucks, etc.
Okay. Let's answer your question, Councillor.
I think it has to sit there.
Okay.
It doesn't, but yeah.
Okay. If I may be of assistance, for the avoidance of doubt, that the 15,000 is designed to allocate for delivery of the actual event, rather than to pay someone to organise an event. So it's actually for the costs we would incur in the delivery of the event. No.
Okay. Lovely, thanks. Any other questions? I just have one question to you, Nadia. In terms of the consultation about what this is going to look like beyond 2025, you talk about extensive community consultation. What will that look like?
We still need to really think that through and develop it. I'm speaking to some different consultants, but it is really about going to our community to understand what it is they want from our events, because at the moment they're very ad hoc. So we're doing them either because we're receiving requests or because we've always done them. So it is about listening to that feedback we get in the first year and then developing an annual events calendar based on our capacity to deliver, and then really tweaking it over the next few years to see how successful those events are. So ultimately we may end up with 5 or 6 events that we decide to deliver, or maybe just go back to delivering the one big one. Mm. So really we do, I haven't really thought past the next few years, so it's a really good question. But it was open to the community and the businesses to really give us that feedback about, do they still want to do things the way we've always done it, or is there a different way we can go about it? I've spoken to some of the bigger local governments who have done very big event strategies, so they're usually about a 5-year strategy. So it really depends whether we just want to look for 1 year or we want to go further.
Okay. And as a follow-up, when do you expect that to be concluded or something to come before council? Particularly in terms of the timeframe for the following year, yeah? Because these things take time, so...
it's probably, from what I understand, about a 12-month process. So we need to do an RFQ to find someone to help us with the strategy, then do the consultation over 3 or 4 months, and then kind of bring the report back to council. And my idea is to have it done by this time, hopefully next year, to help inform the budget for the year after.
Thank you. Yeah, well done. Thank you. Anything else here for this? No. Okay. Any further questions, everyone? Okay. Okay, there is no further questions. I think the... Can I have a mover, please, for the motion? Councillor Collinson, second of Councillor Harrington. Councillor Collinson.
Yes, well, I think we've already agreed to this at the concept forum, and especially given our current budgetary situation, I think it's absolutely essential that we do at least put a pause on it for 1 year. I hope our officers have very good armour, though, because there's going to be a huge community backlash. And I know Nadia is going to have to use a lot of her wonderful skills to try and deal with the flak we're going to get for that. And I have some empathy for you, Nadia. And as far as community events are concerned, well, the council has in the past conducted some community events. We go back a while. I remember we have had some films in Tonkin Park and comedy nights, most of which were pretty good and enjoyed by everyone that went, but not particularly well attended. And if you go way back, we even had classical film, classical music concerts in the back at the Royal George Hotel. So, yeah, I mean, a bit of musical events could be good too. But anyway, I'll leave that to Nadi to try and sort out. And, yeah, the well, certainly the event we had at the opening of the community park went well. So... that's probably a good spot to start, yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Harrington? Is there nothing further? Okay, lovely. Anyone else would like to discuss this item? For and against? Okay. If there's no further discussion, I close the debate and I put that motion that's on page 77, on page 77 for those... four items to be approved. Anyone for the motion, please raise your hand. Lovely, that's okay, that was agreed unanimously. Thank you. 13.3, Perth South West Metro Lines Corporate Governance Charter. This was also discussed. I don't think we need any further discussion on this. Can I have a mover, please, for this item? Councillor Donnellan, seconded Councillor Haywood. Thank you. Councillor Donnellan.
I think it's worth we can stake
it. Let's put you up.
Yeah, I think it's... we certainly need to see what's going on, and it is valuable, and especially with everything that's going on. Also, when you look at the percentage that we pay compared, I mean, we are a small council, but we're only paying, I think it was $29,683, which was 7% or something of the total. But I just think we need to be in that space. And so I certainly support the recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor, can you turn off the... Jonathan? Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with Councillor Donovan's comments, and I think that presentation to the concept forum was great, and I think as well, given the growth in the area, it'll be great to stay involved. But, yeah, nothing further to add.
Lovely. Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, there's no further discussion. Therefore,
no.
I thank you. I close that debate. So the motion is to recommend and accept the South West Alliance Charter, as well as authorise to sign the MOU for the next six years on page 82. Everyone for that motion, please raise your hand. Okay, lovely. And that was approved unanimously. Moving to item 13.4, monthly financial report for February. Can I have a mover, please? Hang on, pause.
Sorry, just through the chair, we were just checking there was an amendment that I'm not sure whether all councillors have seen it yet. We just need to speak to.
Okay, lovely.
I think it's on the screen now, and if
you
can invite Mr. Cochin to speak.
Yeah, lovely. Okay, well, wasn't aware of that. So, okay, before I put this, please, Executive Manager, would you like to speak to the amendment and the report?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. The edits are on your screen, highlighted in red text. After liaising with Jack and the depot team, some additional funding is required to close out on the Fremantle Women's Football Club project at Woolhawk Park. There are two essential items that need to be completed. The first one is, an anti-slip treatment on the concrete changing room floor. And the second one being smoke detectors and emergency alarms. So both of those items were excluded from the design and the contract with the builder. So the town will be managing, procurement of those items. So a budget variation is requested, increasing the total budget from $738,322 to $749,632 for that project this financial year, noting that that has been a multi-financial year project.
Okay. Thank you. And how much did we contribute to that? That was funded by a grant, wasn't it? A large portion?
Through the chair, the total project cost is just in excess of $1 million, so $800,000 in state government funding, $111,000 from the football club, and then the balance of funding from the town. So from recollection, don't quote me, but with the budget variation, it will probably be $1,030,000 in total.
Okay.
So the balance of that expenditure would have been incurred last financial year.
Yeah. Okay. The reason why they were excluded from the original project cost. Remember through to the.
Through the chair, it looks like it was just an error, and it hadn't been picked up. So as we were doing those reviews, we realised that additional work needed to be done, but we're not. We're getting up to date with exactly what happened. So.
Okay.
I'm not able to confirm that 100%, but we're fairly certain it was just an omission in error.
Okay, thank you. Any questions in regards to that amendment change? Okay, there's no further questions. That being said, can I have a mover, please, for this item? Councillor Harrington, thank you. Second, Councillor White, thank you. Councillor Harrington? All good, nothing further. Councillor White?
Nothing further.
Any further questions in regards to the February financial report? Okay, I see no. No interest. Therefore, I put that motion on page 115. Everyone, let me get to it. Sorry. It says item 13.4 for council to receive the monthly financial report, including those changes. Everyone for the motion, please raise your hand. Okay, thank you, and that's been accepted unanimously. No changes, Peter. Oh, good. Could I have a mover, please, for the 13.5 accounts for payment for February 25? Who would like to thank Councillor White? Signed Councillor McPhail. Councillor White?
Nothing further. I think the report speaks for itself. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor McPhail?
I'll second that.
Lovely. Any questions for anyone else in regards to the accounts? This is more of a comment. I note that EFT 38940, which is printing for City of Armidale. Did anyone see that in there? So it's good to see that. We're utilising the, and I think that was done by Nadia potentially,
yes.
for the printing of our
reports.
And reports. So it's good to see we're diversifying into that space. So it's okay. And well done. No, that's a comment there. So if anyone didn't see that. If there's no further questions, I'll close that. I think that is on page 137. Anyone for the officer's recommendation, please raise your hand. Councillor McCullough, thank you. And that was approved unanimously. Lovely. Item 14, motions of which previous...
The late item.
Okay. So we're coming with the late item here?
Yeah.
Okay, lovely. Councillors, you would have all received, I think, an email yesterday, I think I read, which is a late item 30.6, which is due with the football licence agreement East Fremantle Community Park. I think I will get the CEO to talk about this, given the lateness of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor, and apologise for the lateness of this. As you are aware, there's been a fair bit happening in terms of trying to finalise a football licence agreement with the football club. And whilst that is still on foot, there are a couple of issues that I thought Council could seek to resolve. Firstly, in an effort to try and ensure that the first match day for the football club, which is scheduled for the 5th of April, can go ahead, even if we don't have the full licence agreement signed. And importantly, I thought it was important for Council to consider what it could do if there is likely to be any backlash from the community or from the football club that it is somehow the town's responsibility for cause of delay and so forth. So looking to those matters, the two that I believe Council could give consideration for, and I do note that I did speak with our legal advisers at Jack Mack just to confirm this. The two items in front of you are the potential to offer the 10% member discount on food and beverage purchases, given that Council had already agreed that that would be part of the food and beverage model at its meeting last year, and the approval of the sale of the naming rights, given that we agreed or Council agreed to that a proposition in the December 2023 Council meeting. So those two items there are listed. Just to be clear, with the naming rights, it's only about approving the name of the naming rights sponsor, and I haven't said it out loud because they haven't announced it yet, and that's why it's in the confidential report. The financial terms of that sponsorship agreement, but that is where it is limited. So any further approvals for such things as other terms or the signage would subsequently need to be determined by council. And this has been also communicated to the football club, so they're aware of what is being proposed tonight, and they didn't express disagreement to the constraints on that approval around the naming rights. They effectively want to announce it, and they want to pass on the terms to their members. There's two other issues which we can talk about at a later time that will allow them to have that first game day, but they're not matters that need to come to council. They're matters that require the obtaining of building approvals for scoreboards and in temporary infrastructure, and we're dealing with that at an administrative level, but we'll keep council apprised of that.
Lovely. Thank you, CEO. Any questions? Councillor White?
And I think I might know the answer, but for the purpose of clarity, the 10% discount on food and beverage, when does that commence?
Through the Chair, should Council adopt this recommendation this evening, I can communicate that to Belgravia at 12 o'clock tomorrow, and they can immediately implement. The systems are in place already. There may need to be a little bit of changeover because, for example, they currently offer the Bowls Club. I think they have, rather than the 10% discount at the moment, they are offered a pint of beer gets a dollar off, and I think it's something to do with wine, there's a reduced cost. So they just need to change the model over and communicate it to the members to say we're no longer offering that, but we are now going to honour 10%. So there'll be a little bit of transition, but it shouldn't take too long.
Any further questions? Any comments? Okay. Look, I would just say one comment about this is that this is a step forward, I think, in good faith in regards to all the clubs, and particularly the particularly the bowls club that have been in this building, and demonstrated some revenue over the last 6 months, but as well as the football club in terms of the information. For those elected members that weren't at our previous catch up, the football club did run an ad hoc event there on the weekend where they had a scratch match. It was scratch matches of which the facility did quite well at. So it does represent some rays of sunshine in regards to our commerciality of the building. So. Okay. That being said, this doesn't negate us being able to deal with some of those other key issues, which will come sooner rather than later. So I also need to say something else. Jonathan has done extremely well in this space. Okay. I don't think this report existed yesterday or the day before yesterday. Okay, so beyond what happened over the weekend, all this has happened very, 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 very quickly. So, and it does represent that everyone is pulling together to make the relationship work and make the enterprise as commercial as possible. So thank you, Jonathan, for your effort. Okay. If there's nothing else, okay, can I have a mover, please, for the motion? Councillor White. Second, Councillor Maywood. Thank you. I saw that. Okay. Councillor White.
Nothing further. I think the comments that have been made are very very correct, and again, acknowledge the role of the CEO, and I'm happy to recommend that recommendation. Thank you.
Councillor Maywood.
Yeah, similar line of thought for me, and just want to say thank you to Jonathan again for working on the weekend over this, and I agree with Councillor Natale's comments, like this is a step forward in good faith, and we all want to achieve a successful first game day on the 5th of April. So nothing Thank further you. To add.
Anyone else want to provide a comment for or against? Okay, no further comment. Therefore, I'll close the debate. Therefore, I put that motion to advance the execution of the football in advance of that we resolve to put the extra 10% discount, as well as the entering the agreement in regards to the name and rights. So anything for the motion, please raise your hand. And that was agreed unanimously. Thank you, everyone. Item 14, motions of which previous notice has been given. It's nil. The notice of motions for consideration of the next meeting. There's no notice. No. 16, questions by which members of which due notice has been given. It's nil. New business of an urgent nature. Nil. There's no matters behind closed doors. Therefore, closure of the meeting is 7:23. Okay, done. Okay. For